Why must eternal salvation be reduced to shorts? The Lord has a way through me of giving the words that will help you remember the lesson. Every time you see a pair of shorts from now on, you're going to remember the Word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. For it is the gift of God. When are these jackass preachers going to understand that all they do with some of that kind of preaching is internalize it? I do not believe that any preacher in history has ever, at any time, saved anybody preaching against shorts. I furthermore do not believe any preacher in this world has ever affected the frequency of sex or the thoughts thereto one jot or tittle by preaching against shorts. All he's ever done is intensify the opportunities to tune him out while he preaches. And get the hip hip hoorays from the old goats that secretly are like that every time they see one, who want to show off in front of their dumpy old woman by saying, "Amen." And all they do is make happy the ones who would look like the hind end of an elephant if they wore shorts, who don't like the competition. Facts are facts. Life is life. And why can't we preach the grace of God instead of that asininity? By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what the perverts are doing, boasting. I don't care how you slice it, how holy it sounds, and how much thunderings and amens, and oh God, don't make me do it, are involved. It is the boasting of man. That's all it is. These perverts want to boast. That's all it is. For by grace are you saved through faith. I'm going to keep the analogy going. A woman in shorts, bathing, got better chances than a boasting preacher. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, they're sitting there poised. Will he go on in this chapter? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Next Sunday. You come and see. I'm going to go right into these perverts' territory. And hold on. Hold on. I'm going to march right into the perverts' territory and emerge more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You come next Sunday, I'll show you. I'm going through. And I want us to applaud the ladies and every man that's on the usher team gets a boo because a couple of duds made you all look bad. Now, let's just wait a minute. Let's do this in an organized way. You see, there isn't any privilege on earth higher than being an usher here. And if you make a wrong choice about who waits for me, then all of you are going to suffer. It only takes a few seconds for one mistake in a very carefully planned day. The ladies at least prevented a happening like last Sunday. Last Sunday, I had a bunch of men ushers wandering around, and they didn't have enough eyeballs in their head to see the very same stupid woman that had given us problems all morning was waiting a half a block down there in the crosswalk ready to step in front of my car. And I have two men ushers running alongside my car, and I ask myself, well, now, do they have something that looks like eyeballs that aren't really eyeballs? Every so often you reach a stage where people like to sort of prance around, carry the money, and wear the hats, and be seen by everybody, and they forget what they're doing it for. Now, there may be some strangers here that'll say, well, are you always this grumpy every single time somebody goofs? It's about time we get a new core of voices of faith that mean business. Every so often, you got to have turnover. We got some guys that have come in on the Voice of Faith lines that think that they can pick up telephone numbers from other voices of faith and from king's houses. I'll not have the real men of this congregation watered down with second-degree excuses of a man that don't have the ability to find a man without raiding my work team, or find a woman either. One place where we know how to play hard, and when it's work time, we get down to business. And I'm slowly inching up on some people that think they're fooling me on the phones, and you ain't ever had a blowtorch hit you like me when I get you pinned down. And I've watched a gradual deterioration in ushering, and I've had it. Now, some men that want to be men and understand that the Secret Service has got a peanut job alongside the ushers that look out for me in God's house here on Sunday morning, then volunteers form at the back of the church and find Mike Rodriguez when the service is over. But I better not have the kind of performance I've been having the last 2 or 3 weeks, or next time I'm singling people out. I drive in here for 10 years. Everybody knows where my car is, and I'm getting out trying to find the guy holding my microphone. I'm just old-fashioned enough, you open the door for the pastor when he drives up. Now, I'm still mad at those ushers that let that woman
get that opportunity at me last Sunday. So here we go. It's boo for the men who dumped on themselves. Let's have it. And applause for the bright-eyed ladies that were on the corner today. Now, you guys that can't take it and are wimps, check your hats at the door and head on home. You real men kiss the paddle and get the smile on your face and realize you had it coming, because if one of you lets down, you all suffer. And maybe I'll get that kind of horizontal elbow punch that'll say to some sleepy-eyed guy standing around with a hat on his head looking like he's there but he really isn't, get your act together or get your little asteroid home. There's a championship team and I expect it to act that way. Good morning, everybody. Just think, you waited 35 minutes for this marvelous greeting. You see, there are some churches that live under the illusion you've got to get by with volunteer help. I don't believe in volunteers. There ain't no such animal. I treat the people that are supposed volunteers the same way I do everybody else. This is God's work. And you bring your whole person alive and alert when you do the work of God. And there are some of you that watch on television may think that the uniqueness of this church comes by accident. There are no accidents around here. We just refuse to allow the water level to slip to the ordinary. There are enough of those kind of churches bringing shame to Jesus Christ. Now, all of you, starting with the ushers, empty your billfolds now into the offering plate. As Sammy plays, I'm going through. I'm not through with that subject. Are you a perfectionist, someone might say? Absolutely. You better believe it. I'm a perfectionist in intent. Nobody's going to be a perfectionist in performance, but it doesn't take you long to smoke out an attitudinal frame of perfection. And I teach on any subject, and this is just as good as any other to teach on, because it's basic to Christianity. An attitudinal frame of perfectionism, you smoke out easily. That's why Jesus said the little foxes spoil the vine. Somebody can make an honest mistake trying and drop a ladder on my car outside. Now, that isn't perfectionism, but I won't even bat an eye. You know, I'll say, pick up the ladder, and we'll next time figure out how to lean it a little better. Honest mistakes that come out of effort never bother me. But you can always tell the attitudinal frame on the little things. Little things that just show a kind of lackadaisical or brains not yet in gear or relaxed attitude or don't care spirit. That's when you see this tornado start spinning. I mean, the basic premise of people waiting for me is they're waiting for me. And unless you're blind, you can figure out which door I'm coming out of if I'm driving. Can't you figure that out? Now, I'm for prevention. I'm tired of some of the problems we've had in this church. I'm for prevention. We got nuts every week trying to get to me. If we prevent it, we don't have so much curative problem. Now, I'm highly vulnerable. Anybody knows that for just a minute or two. When I pull my car in, have to turn the motor off, open the door, sometimes have my saxophone. I don't have my coat on. I've got to hand my Bible, my coat, my saxophone, various things out of the car. And I'm suddenly vulnerable to someone rushing in and throwing a piece of paper. There's service on the car, which is service, and ties me up in court for months. I need somebody there that, bang, has that door open with two hands out to take from me, and I at the same time have to have a free hand to get this microphone in my hand and put it on, ready to help me out. And if necessary, I can dash out and run. He can bring the things to avoid a confrontation that only brings trouble. Now, you better believe the normal one that meets me there, if I find out that the normal one who meets me there did not take the trouble to call in and say, I'll not be there today, he won't be there anymore either. Does that make sense to you? So it's a new person meeting me today. Well, somebody is supposed to take the responsibility of briefing the new fella. And the fact that he wasn't briefed tells me that I have got a problem that organizations get every so often, that people think if they just make it in time to punch the clock, everything's going to be okay because they're there. It's not a thought-out problem. Not a planned landing at Normandy. Every Sunday is a landing at Normandy here. And I simply cannot afford people that don't bring their full head with them to work. You know we're at war. How in the world can I ask you to act like we're at war if I'm not at war? And if those that are around me are not at war? We put a new dish in back here. Some of you maybe have noticed it. I got engineers who worked all night to put it up. You think they're going to get my compliments? They're crazy. Crazier than an absolute loon. You're going to learn a lot about why this church functions and how it functions. Engineers are going to get it publicly on the head because I told them take however much time it was necessary. And we're in a war and a crisis. And I'll have dead-ended engineers all afternoon. In a crisis time, because they decided on their own to do what any coach would fire a ball player for, who's supposed to go out and make a sacrifice fly, and they decide to knock a home run on their own. You know engineers are like tinker toy kids grown up. You give them a new toy, they're not working because they love me. This is the fanciest, most sophisticated challenge to their engineering brain since I've been here for 10 years. And they get caught up in it and forget what they're supposed to be doing, which is working for me. And giving me my best crew here on Sunday morning, and giving me an absolute 110% man on my engineering staff all afternoon, when I'm going to have to fight for our life. Or cancel most of the new stations we're on. You see, I'm very easy to figure out. Everybody around here works for me. And ever so often they start working for the work instead of working for me. You say, well, why do you do this publicly? Because most of my staff comes out of this congregation. And if the ones that are presently working can't get their heads together, I'll be drawing from some of you, and maybe you'll have learned it before you start coming to work. You say, I never ever heard a pastor talk to his people like this. Well, this ain't your ordinary pastor, friend. If I had given the deadline, you have that thing on air tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, or be prepared to lose your right leg just above the knee, I'd give them an A-plus for working all night. But I didn't give that order. I didn't even ignore the order. I gave a specific order. In fact, I would guess there are some voices of faith sitting here that saw me walk out with an engineer the other night and say loud enough for all of them to hear, you do it right if it takes you 30 days. I can tell you some pastors that never create any tension. All they do is smile. May God send all those who want that to those super smilers quickly. We had better understand that we're on a countdown for war, and Satan is as wise as a serpent, wiser. And I had better start getting everybody to realize that we're in one of those crucial times when we're under attack. And if you don't get your head on, I'd suggest that you really get your wits about you when you drive to church. Even you members over the next few months. No, weeks. If there's a nut on the highway, the devil will see to it he's in front of, aside, or behind my people on the way to the king's house. I must have seen at least 40 of them on the route here today. And the worst one had a fish on his back windshield. I didn't mind him trying to drive on the line instead of the lane, but it was somehow, he must have been practicing miracle performance. He was trying to drive on two lines. Not between them, on two lines. You know, there's a way to witness without trying to put your damn fish in front of every car on the freeway. I'm easy to get along with, folks. I really am. You just get up and check your elevator and see if it goes above the shoulders. If it doesn't, go back to bed and call in sick. Now, I'm very easy about that. Give me people, if they have a head, in whom I can assume the elevator reaches the top floor. Who are looking at me like this? How many of you see this is exactly the pastor that's been here for 10 years? Will you raise your hands? Why, this church is what it is. There's a certain feel that permeates every single person. If
fail to realize. They better be ready. Just take it on the chin and start smiling. We're at war. Satan has pulled out all the stops. I listened this morning on the FM, and it may appear to you I'm taking it very easily. Well, I'm not. When I realize that it's just less than 40 days that I won't be able to turn on that 99-point FM and listen to the service on the way, or late at night, or with a dock pack, unjustly in violation of every rule and precedence, as evil as the day that Haman built a 75-foot scaffold to hang Mordecai on. The arrogant order has come from a FCC damnable bureaucracy that have gotten away with such evil without anyone checkmating them anywhere along the journey. They now have no fear of being called on anything. And they'll succeed, it appears. It's hard for me to stay silent about it, but I'll stick to my guns. And I'll make you a bet. That some of the little peons making this unjust decision will wonder why their career reached an end before this old boy dies. I have a philosophy. I have a philosophy, if you can't whip them, own them. I'm asking you to make me cause the Vatican to worry that they might be the second richest church in the world. I find it very hard to stay silent while this injustice is going on. And the devil once again thinks he's finally found a grip he can choke with. And if you think I'm going to enter into this battle in the next few weeks with a half-mast team and a half-mast crew, you don't know me at all. And I'm weary with people saluting me and giving me the verbal garbage and not performing the way that they know I want them to perform. And I don't know how many years I must be here before people think, stop thinking they can fool me with their motives. You know, I'm just like a father with some kids. I'm not ready to check out on them. They're just human. How many of you have ever had to send your kids with a new toy to bed so they'd be worth something tomorrow? Any of you parents ever had to do that? How many of you ever had to send your kids to bed when they had a new toy? I searched and I searched for the road that leads to glory. I wondered if I'd ever find a way. Come on, Sam. I laid down to rest, for my feet had grown so weary. And then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep on walking.
can't hear myself. Don't even know what I'm saying. See if this one's better. Think you can find me, Peter? You've got to keep on walking. Keep right on walking. Walking in the light of the... Come on, John! You'll get to heaven someday. If you walk the right way, walking in the light of the Lord. I searched and I searched for the road that leads to glory. I wondered if I'd ever find a way. Feet have grown so weary, and then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep on walking, keep right on walking, walking in the light of the Lord. Oh, you get to for me. You never know. I mean, you never have to wonder where you stand. I believe the Bible says never let the sun go down on your wrath. Get it out. Before sundown. Sooner the better. I'll take volunteers at the close of the service. If I have any sleepy engineers this afternoon on festival, I'll take volunteers to sit right behind them with one of these little stun guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really not a stun gun, it's a wake-up gun. You know? Wake up. You've got to keep on walking. Keep right on walking.
Walking.
Changed it now. You get to heaven walking in the light of the Word. Some of these people get funny messages from the Lord. Now, you can get all the messages you want from the Lord, but we're going to get our message from the Word. I get a few messages from the Lord, but it isn't my messages from the Lord I try to preach to you. It's our message from the Lord. Now, the right way, that's another one that people have differences of opinion on. The faith way. Sing it that way with me. You've got to keep on walking. Keep right on walking.
If you walk the right way.
a feeding upon the precious word of God. The marvelous, holy, so full of glory, attend the path that Jesus trod. He has been deliverer, sin forgiver.
And you do the picking around, friend. Let's go.
Well, I've been reading and I've been feeding upon the precious word of God. Marvelous story, so full of glory, tell the path Jesus trod. He was meant to live and to forgive. Every problem he understood. Everywhere he went, my Lord, he was doing good. Thank you.